think that they will know that we are Christians by our love. Isn't that right? It's a real message for all of us. Can all of you hear me right now?
I guess we will have a wireless one.
Okay, maybe you can hear me right now. That's fantastic. I'd like for you to open up in your Bibles once to the book of Revelation, will you? You can have that for me, thank you. I appreciate it. For the last 2 weeks, I spent worshiping and praying with and being in the field over at Pakalua Training Area. Does anybody know where that is? All right, you've been there before? You know what that's all about. The little chapel over there, has anybody ever seen the chapel over there? Nobody seen the chapel before? I guess I'm the only one who's seen the chapel over there. And sometimes people forget what the chapel is all about. Well, you go and visit the chaplain, yeah, you can do that. You can go and visit the chaplain, but you can also come and find out what the Word of God has to say. So this little Quonset hut that we had was no bigger than, I should say, no wider than one of these pews right here. And it's kind of shaped like in just a clamshell. It was built probably 1945. And meant there to be just a temporary fixture. Well, it's still there. And it's still helping people to come to understand where they need to come to find God's Word. Amen. I'd like for you to turn to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. A lot of the soldiers who I talk to, they think that Revelation is a mystery, is something that they don't know what to deal with. They think that maybe, perhaps, that it is a code that is impossible to understand with all these dreadful beasts in there, with all these dreadful images that scare them half to death. And this is what I preached to them just the other day. Let us pray. Our Father God, as we open up God's Word, that we help understand what Jesus has for us today, what we can do today, not what somebody else can do for me today, but what we can do today for our salvation. And that is, we can get into God's Word, that we can understand who Jesus is, and that we can make a full surrender to Him today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1 says, the whole reason for the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants. Thing must shortly come to pass. Who is a servant of God? Are any of you servants of God here? Okay, there's a couple of amens. There are a couple of servants of God that are here. I'm glad for that. Now maybe you didn't hear it before. I don't know. It says right here, it says, who are His servants? I want you to know. Is anybody here? Okay. There's a little bit better of a response that is here. It's okay to respond to God's Word, especially in His church. So if you understand that the book of Revelation isn't just the revelation, what some people think, the revelation of John. No, it's not the revelation of John. It's not what the Word says. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Who wants to understand about Jesus Christ today here? There's one, there's two, there's a few people that are here. And that's good. So if we want to understand the revelation of Jesus Christ, we need to open up our ears. Am I right? All right. That's what we're looking at. Praising God today and hearing His Word today. So things that will happen in the future, way, way in the future. That's what the Word says? No, it doesn't. It says shortly come to pass. It says shortly come to pass. It's not something that happens way, way in the future that won't happen. It's going to happen shortly. And He sent and signified it before His angel and His servant, John. So the only part that John had to deal with is a messenger. That's it. That's just a messenger. How many times have you stoned the postman as he's come to deliver your mail? Have you ever done that? Have you ever taken the mailman and just berated him because of the mail that you've been getting lately? Have you done that? I hope you haven't done that. Because he's just a messenger. He just comes to give you something that somebody else wanted to give you. That's the same thing I had to tell my executive officer the other day. I said, "Sir, I've got a message for you." The other time that I had a message for the brigade commander, "Sir, I have a message for you." Each one of them did not like the message that I gave to them. But I said, "It is not my job to make you pleased. It's my job to ensure that you get this message." And that's what Jesus has for you today. Don't get mad at John the Revelator for this. Don't get mad at the pastor. It's a message that God has for you. It's a message that Jesus Christ has for you today. By the way, my battalion commander heard the same message, and you should have saw the look on her face as I gave her this message. It was special for her. It was an understanding that she needed Jesus in her life, I could tell. Now, think of this in verse 2 once. Do you still have your Bibles open? I hope you have your Bibles open, because I might tell you something that's not in here, and you're going to have to test me according to this word. So it says, here's the angel that was given the message from Jesus, and here's John the Revelator who's given, and then here it is in verse 2, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ and to all things that he saw. Now listen, blessed is he, or she, it's a neutered form here in Greek, who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. What does it say in here? It said, blessed. Are you listening to this right now? Then you are blessed. Are you understanding what God has to say for you today? Then you are blessed. There is no cursing here that Jesus has for you. It is not here. If you read God's word, if you read God's revelation, then you are blessed. If you're just letting it sit behind the pulpit somewhere, like I saw, there's a Bible back here somewhere that's just collecting dust back here. Maybe there's some literature. I saw some literature that was collecting dust back here. You can't get any blessing out of anything that's just hanging around the household. It doesn't do any good to you. You can't receive a blessing unless, well, you pick it open and read it. That's the condition about reading the book of Revelation. If you want a blessing from Revelation, you have got to read it. You can hear it too, but you need to read it. So there's the conditions of the blessing. Now here's the next part of this revelation. It is not just important for you to just sit here and listen to me, and I'm glad that you're listening to me. I'm glad you're listening to Jesus. I'm glad you're listening to John the Revelator. I'm glad you're listening to the angel. That's good. But the next part that you need to have is the keeping. Did you hear what I had to say? Amen. You can't just read the revelation of Jesus Christ, but you have to keep it. What does it mean to keep the revelation? Well, let's look at that. Yeah, do it. That's right. You need to do it. And you need to keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Have you ever opened a letter in the mail and it says on the letter, it says time sensitive? Have you ever read that? You have X amount of days to respond. That's what the book of Revelation says. The book of Revelation says there is not just, you just have an eternal time to just decide whatever you feel like doing, and then maybe I'll respond to it at a time where it's most comfortable for me, but the time is near. It is important for you to read, and if you don't get anything else out of this sermon, is that you must look at this to understand that the time is near. You don't just have a lackadaisical Christian walk just saying, well, I just respond to Jesus' calling whenever I feel like doing it, but that you will do it now. This message in the book of Revelation demands that you respond to it, not in a comfortable time, not when you feel like doing it, not when you feel like saying, well, I'm going to open up God's word, but it's today, because the time is near. And that is the introduction. The introduction could be a closing, but it's not. We are not busy. We are not finished with this message yet. So if you haven't been challenged yet, you will be challenged. This message will challenge you. I know it will challenge you. Now, here's the interesting thing about John. This message was given to John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now, if I had a PowerPoint presentation, I would probably bore you to death with it. I'm tired of PowerPoint presentations myself. But here, the beginning of what Jesus has to say. Does anybody have a red letter edition sitting in their hands? If you've got a red letter edition, you will understand that the red letters mean that Jesus said it. That John wrote it down. Okay, Jesus, wait a minute, John, Jesus, I want to write this down. Here it is. And Jesus said such and such. Verse 8. If Jesus had something to say to you today, would you listen? Would you listen? I'm glad that one person would listen today. Does anybody else want to listen to what Jesus had to say today? Praise God, because Jesus says today, I am the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning and the end. The Alpha is simply the letter from the Greek alphabet is the first one. The Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet, and that is the end. If Jesus is the beginning and the end, what is in the middle? Yeah, exactly. Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. The book of Revelation is the beginning of Jesus. The book of Revelation is the ending of Jesus. And there is no end, mind you. There couldn't be an end to Jesus. And if you wanted to know about Jesus, you would read the book of Revelation. You would. So we would look at the book of Revelation as being another gospel. Really. There are not just four gospels. Well, there are. But if you wanted to know more about Jesus, you would look at another gospel, and that is according to John the Revelator. I am the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. If you could grasp your hands around this, that everything in your life revolves around Jesus. It doesn't revolve around yourself. It doesn't revolve around the person who is next to you. It doesn't revolve around the economy. It doesn't revolve around the elections. It revolves around Jesus Christ, who is Almighty. What does Almighty mean? Almighty means that He has all power. Are you dealing with a problem in your life today? Are you? Are you dealing with marital problems? Are you dealing with interpersonal relationship problems? Jesus is the Almighty. He is the Alpha and Omega. He has the answer to all of your problems. He has all the power to overcome your problems. Did you read as you were passing over this way? I don't know, we drive from this direction over here, and we saw the sermon that is tomorrow, the next church down here. And it has to do with marriage. You having problems in your marriage? I thought that was kind of interesting. So the solution to marriage is what the sign said was not the next person who I could be with, the next spouse that I could be with, but it's me. I'm the problem that is here. I thought that was interesting. It's me. It's the solution starts right here. If you have a problem today, the Almighty has the answer, the Alpha and the beginning. Look at this once. There are seven churches that are listed here, and those seven churches have to deal with chapter 2. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2 once and verse 1. This is the church to Ephesus. There's another place in the Bible. There's an epistle or a letter to the Ephesians. That is the address to the church members who are actually in Ephesus. And you know what Ephesus means? It means the loveless church. I didn't hear any amens to that, because that's not an... I don't think that anybody here would want to be a member of the loveless church. Who would want that? How about this one right here in verse 8? The church, here's the angel to the church of to Smyrna in verse 8. That means the persecuted church. Has this church been persecuted before? That's right. But this church is not known as the persecuted church, is it? I hope not. I hope it isn't known, but it might. It might happen that way. Someday you might be part of the persecuted church. Now, how about this other church that is right here? We've got a third church in verse 12. That's Pergamos. Pergamos was also known where Satan's throne was. What a reputation. The compromising church. Now, who here wants to be a member of the compromising church? How would you like to transfer your membership to the compromising church? Not a good church to be a member of. Would you say so? And verse 18, Thyatira, the corrupt church. Does somebody want to be a member of the corrupt church today? How would you like to have the elder of the corrupt church come to you and say, how would you like to transfer your membership to the corrupt church? To be baptized in the corrupt church. Now here's another one right here. Turn over to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, the church in Sardis. Now that means the dead church. The dead church. Today, brothers and sisters, I don't see a dead church here in Waihewa. Praise God for that. Nobody here, I hope, is a member of the dead church of Sardis. Now, the next one here, I hope that I would be more. I like this one. It's a lot better. And that is the lukewarm church. No. We're in Philadelphia right now. Verse 7, the faithful church. The church of brotherly love. I hope that is said amongst the Waihewa church that they will know that we are Christians, that we are members of the Waihewa Seventh-day Adventist Church because of the brotherly love. The brotherly love that we show to our next-door neighbors? Okay. That's important. How about the brotherly love that we have for our workers? The people who we work with on a day-to-day basis. The people who we ride on the buses with. The people who we work with, the soldiers maybe that we work with, maybe they will know that you are a Christian simply because of the love that you show them. But I would have to say also, how about the love that we show to each other here in the church, to our spouses, to our children, to our siblings? That's a message. That is a tremendous message. Let's go to the next church right here. That's found in verse 14. That's Laodicea. That is verse 14, the lukewarm church. Who would want to be in the lukewarm church? But I'll tell you what, nobody said amen there. Did you notice that? Nobody wants to be known as a lukewarm Christian, because a lukewarm Christian is basically a fence rider, a person who can't make their decision. They'll sit on a decision for a long, long time. And Jesus keeps asking them again and again and again, would you please make this decision? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Maybe Jesus has been knocking at your heart for a couple of months now, and he's still waiting for your decision. I don't know what it is. And you're still riding on the fence. That is not a good place to be. So now, We will turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. Revelation 3 and verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. It reminds you very much of what we just read way back over here, and it's not that far way back over here, in verse 8, where it says, I am the Alpha and Omega. It also reminds us of verse 11, says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Look at this ones. These are all for you. This message right here that we just read, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, is here for you. What you see, write in the book and send to the seven churches which are in Asia, in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, to Laodicea. Every church got a word from God. Every church had this pertinent message to them. So when we get to verse 17 of chapter 1, it says, do not be afraid. Why would Jesus say, do not be afraid? the end times, as Jesus opens up these dreadful things that are about ready to happen to his servants in the churches. That's you. Might look scary, but Jesus says, I'm the first and the last. I've got it covered. I've got it covered from the beginning. I've got it covered from the middle. I've got it covered in the end. You are in my hands. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. No matter what happens, Jesus has the keys of Hades, these dreadful, unpredictable things that you don't understand that are in the book of Revelation are something that you must know that Jesus has you covered. And it says, right, here are these things for his church. Here are these things for all of my members and all the churches around the world. You see, the book of Ephesians, the Ephesian church, the Smyrna church, the Pergamos church, the Thyatira, the Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. All the messages that were written in the Word of God right here were pertinent to all Christians, not just at their time. Maybe you've been a member of a loveless church. Maybe you've been a member of a persecuted church. Maybe you've been a member of a compromising church, a corrupt church. Maybe you've been a member of a dead church, or a faithful church, or maybe a lukewarm church. It's possible that these messages are here for all of us right here, because the shoe fits for every one of us. It's not enough for us to look and say, well, wait a minute, the church that I'm a member of is lukewarm. Oh, wait a minute, the church that I'm a member of is faithful. Maybe the church that I'm a member of is dead. Maybe they're corrupt. Maybe they're persecuted or compromising and loveless. But remember, the ones that make up the church are the individual persons. Amen. And maybe you are the one that was dead. Maybe you are the one that is lukewarm. Maybe you are the one that's corrupt, persecuted, and loveless and compromising. And maybe what you need to do today is listen to what God's word says to you that says, hey, you've left your first love. Or, hey, I am the one that works tribulation in you. Maybe you're going through persecution right now. Or, wait a minute, I've experienced sitting, and it sure seems like in verse 13 of chapter 2, there's Satan's throne right there. Maybe you're living in a corrupt society. Maybe you're living in a situation where you don't know what to do with. And here is Jesus saying, this applies to you. And we go to verse 15 of chapter 3 now. Verse 3 of chapter 15. I know your works, Jesus says to you, here in the Wahiwa Church, individual members of the Wahiwa Church, individual members of the Christian Church, individual members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I know your works, that you were neither cold nor hot. Has anybody ever felt that you just find so lackadaisical in your spiritual walk that you can say, yeah, that's me right here. That's me. Yeah, I'm the person right here that was not cold or hot. I just kind of just sit in the pews and maybe warm them up a little bit. And that's it. Does that apply to you today? Because the message is for you. I could wish that you were cold or hot. When I was over at PTA, we call it Pakalua Training Ground, or Pakalua Training Area PTA, because it's a lot easier to say it. We've got all these acronyms in the Army that it's just a lot easier for us to say. And we had these sinks that were over there. I don't know if you've ever ran into one of those sinks. It was a very confusing sink. The sink on one side said hot, and the other one said cold. I turned the hot water on, and I got cold water out of it. It was very, very cold water. It was ice cold water. Very, very cold. I said, well, maybe if I turn the other one on, I turn this one off over here, and I turn that one on, maybe I'll get some hot water out of it. And it was cold. It was so cold. And I said, well, maybe there's another sink around here that works. There has to be a sink that works around here, because there were like 50 of them all lined up. Well, maybe there were 25. I don't know. I didn't keep track. There were so many of them. So I went to another sink. And I turned this one sink on over here, and I turned the hot, I turned the water over here that said cold, and I got cold water out of it. And I said, well, what on earth is this all about? So I turned this water on over here, and I finally got hot water on. I finally got hot water out of the sink. And I was saying, I wonder if there's more problems with all the rest of these sinks. They don't know what kind of water to give out. Some sinks could give out warm water. Some sinks could give out cold water, and others could give out hot water. And here's the situation that Jesus finds with his church in the latter days. Because you remember what we just read says applies to the latter days. It's not something that happened long, long time ago. It's not something that's going to happen 50 years from now. It's something that's happening right now in our church right here at Waihewa. This is what it's talking about. He says to you, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. And I think that's what Jesus is doing to each and every individual one of our members today, trying to turn those faucets on. Are you cold today? Are you hot today? Are you lukewarm? Is he trying to figure out what's happening with you today? Because that's what it's all about, judgment coming to you and I. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. It is the most unrefreshing thing when you are in the desert to open up a bottle of water and find out that it is just lukewarm. You would understand if you were in the desert if it was hot water, because the sun's beating down on it. You could understand that. You would definitely want some cold water. But when we're talking about spiritual things, Jesus wants you hot. And why is it that Jesus says that he will spew you out if he just finds some lukewarm water? Because he knows that you're mixed. He knows that you're a fence rider. He knows that you're not making a decision for him. It's clear to the world and to the people who are your next door neighbors if you are cold. I don't go to church. I could care less about the things that are happening in life. I don't care about my brothers and sisters that are out there. I'm not living according to God's word. There are a lot of people that are out there. And Jesus isn't so worried about those people at the final end, especially those who are church members. But he is worried about those who are claiming the name and not living up to it. He is very much worried about that. Of course, he wants you to be hot. He wants you to be hot. But he doesn't want you to be a fence rider as well. And here's the reason why. Because you say, and he's identifying the lukewarm, and if the shoe fits, please wear it today. If this message pertains to you, wear it and take this in. Because remember, we just read that it said, blessed are you if you read it. Blessed are you if you follow this. I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are poor. You are wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. That's what verse 17 says. That's the hard part about being lukewarm. You don't know it. That is the worst possible place to be. When you're cold, you know it. When you don't have a relationship with Jesus and don't pray every morning and don't open up your scripture and don't live according to the word of God, everybody knows it around you. You know about it. But when you pretend, when you come to the church, and that's what Jesus was talking about, those pretenders that come into the church, they have a semblance of what God's word has to say, but they are not living it according to what he says here. But don't give up hope. If you are that person that just comes to church just for pretend, if you are that person that just comes here just to be named a Christian, that everybody around you thinks that you are socially a Christian, here is what God tells you today. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, the riches that won't go away, that you may truly be rich. And we understand that this is a spiritual richness. And that the white garments that you may be clothed with, that's the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that you don't have to cover up your shame your own way, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve. You see, Jesus isn't wanting to expose you here. Jesus wants you to know yourself what's happening. Did you notice that he wants to cover up that nakedness? Amen. That false pretense of Christianity that you have there? He wants to cover that up. He doesn't want to reveal it. He doesn't say, hey, let me rip those clothes off of you and show that everybody can see how wrong that you are. He wants to cover it up. He wants to give you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he also wants to anoint you with that eye salve that you actually may see. Well, you're thinking that maybe Jesus is being harsh on this church. And he is. He has to be. He has to do something dramatic to make them so that they can understand that they are blind. He has to do this. It is so important that they do this. And verse 19 is a special word for you today. Those who are bench pew warmers. Those who don't want to be players in God's true Seventh-day Adventist church. His true Christian church. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Does it say that John the Baptist is doing this? No. John the Revelator? No. How about Luke? No. It's Jesus that is doing this. Therefore, be zealous and repent. He's saying, I'm going to put some fire under you. The fire is going to make you so that you can repent, so that you can do something different in your life, so that you can be zealous, so that you can change and be hot. Is he saying, well, I'm going to tip you over and be cold? No. He's not saying that. The message is meant for you to repent and be hot, so that when he turns the hot water on, hot water comes from that spigot. It's going to come. Not the cold water that comes on. He says, I'm not going to knock you off to the far side that you be the members of the devil. That's not what he's saying here. This message is designed for you to repent and be zealous and be hot for Jesus Christ. Verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Do you hear Jesus calling you today? Do you hear it when Jesus is knocking at your door? I have to tell you, it must have been about 17 years ago. It's about 17 years ago, maybe 18 years ago. I was in a little church at the Three Angels Seventh-day Adventist Church in Wichita, Kansas. And it seemed to be about this size right here. They were a brand new company, and they hadn't actually become a church. And I was in the back. We were having evangelistic campaigns, and we had a guest speaker. And our guest speaker was Mark Finley. He came to the pulpit, and he had a rousing message. But for some reason or another, I was not paying attention. There was not any air conditioning, and it was in the summertime, and the doors were open, and I was sweating. And I didn't really feel attentive. I must have been nodding off or something. I don't know what it was. And I heard this. And I kind of aroused from my stupor and instantly charged to the door. It was in the back. And opened the door. It was then that I realized that Mark Finley was knocking at my heart spiritually. He was knocking as well. I'm wondering, are you sitting in the pews today kind of thinking, oh, wow, I need to open the door? Because Jesus now is saying, behold, I stand at my door and I knock. If anyone, that's me, the lukewarm person. Maybe you're cold. That's okay. Well, that's not okay. That's not okay that you're warm. But this message is for you. I will come in to you and dine with you. The person who Jesus dines with is the one who's the closest with him. He is inviting the person that doesn't even know that he needs him to dine with him. Remember, Jesus came to dine with sinners. And unless you recognize your wretchedness, your poorness, your so far enough awayness away from Jesus, You can't dine with him. You can't come into him. You can't even hear him. You can't even open up the door. But he gives you this right here. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father, so will you do the same. Could you imagine that? Jesus having to overcome? He did. He had to overcome. He had to overcome his human flesh, just like you have to overcome your human flesh. He showed you exactly the way to overcome the human flesh. If Jesus can walk the same way, you can walk the same way. Because he gave you the same power. Look at this. It says, I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He promises that to you. Today, you can sit with the Father on his throne. Be a partaker of his throne today. You can be a partaker in his message today. You can be a partaker in his love today. You can be a partaker in spiritual healing today. And verse 22, it says, he, that's she as well, who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In other words, let him hear what it has to say to you today. Let him have to say whatever he has to say to you, the YHWH, Seventh-day Adventist Church. Maybe you're not members of the YHWH, Seventh-day Adventist Church. It still matters to you. It is all important for you. So that if you find yourself lukewarm, well, maybe you feel that you're faithful. Maybe you feel like that you're dead today. Maybe you feel like you're corrupt or compromising or loveless or persecuted. Whatever you feel like today, this message has to reach home to you. Because Jesus tells you that you don't have a whole lot of time to respond to this message. I'm honest about this. It's not my words that I have here. Anything that I have comes from God's word. So if you're angry at God today, well then take it to him. Be angry at God today. Don't be angry at me. This is a message for you today so that you can repent. So that you can come and hear God's message coming to you saying, I know your works. You're lukewarm today, but I've got a message. I counsel you today, buy of me of Christ's righteousness. Buy of me of his righteous garments. Buy of me of his gold, the eye salve. And all of that will come off of you because he loves you. With an eternal joy that comes from the beginning and the end. The message of Revelation begins with Jesus, but it also ends with Jesus. And we are here to listen to him today and his gospel message. If you found yourself today being lukewarm, in need of Jesus, in need of covering, in need of some real riches, I'd offer that you'd come and stand before your Maker today and receive his message. If you will, stand. Jesus tells you, those who are standing, those lukewarm ones, that includes me, that's the pastor here talking to you. Behold, I stand at the pastor's door. Behold, I stand at your door today, the YHWH Church today. I've rebuked you today, but I love you. I chasten you today, but I love you. Therefore, brothers and sisters of the Lord, be zealous and repent. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we promise that we will read this word and make it change our lives because you've promised it to us, Lord, that you will change our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.